Good morning and welcome to Christ Church. Go Navy. How about that win yesterday? Yeah. Man, it's so good to see you. I'm honored that you're here as we continue through this series. If you're visiting, my name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors around here, and we're just super glad you're here today. And we're in this great series that I'm super excited that you're a part of. But we have this vision as a church that we want to be one church with multiple locations. And so let's go ahead and start today by welcoming in our Mandarin campus, our Fleming Island campus, our online campus. And in 2 months, we're going to be welcoming in our St. Augustine campus and our Rayford campus in Florida State Prison. Let's give everybody a welcome this morning. But some people go, well, why are we doing that? I mean, why is that our vision? You see, we believe that what God wants from us, what God wants from our lives, what he intends as the best for us, is that we passionately pursue a relationship with him, that we passionately pursue community so we can connect, grow, and serve, and go extend compassion in this broken world that we live in. And so when we're doing that, that's the best life that God wants for us. And so that's what we're trying to do around here. That's the vision God's laid on our hearts. And man, he is opening so many amazing doors for us as a church. Now, we began this series last week talking about relationships. And they're complicated, right? I heard about a guy sitting on the beach in Southern California. And he was just praying. He was praying to God and saying, God, you know, I've been loyal. God, I've been faithful. God, I've always honored you. Whatever you've asked me to do, God, I've always done. And will you just do one thing for me? Well, the heavens opened up, clouds parted. A voice from heaven said, yes, you have my son. You have been faithful, and so I will grant you this one thing. What is it that you want? The guy thought for just a moment. He said, here's what I'd like. I would love a road that connects Southern California to Hawaii. I mean, some days I just want to drive there. I just want to go there and get away from it all. So can you just build a road that goes from Southern California to Hawaii? God thought for a second, said, well, that's a challenge, you know? I mean, the engineering on that would just alone is incredible. I mean, it would be a massive feat. Some of the deepest parts of the ocean between California and Hawaii, not to mention all the steel that it would take and all the concrete it would take. Is there anything else that you would like me to do for you? Something else besides this? The guy scratched his head, thought for a second, said, okay, then help me understand women. Help me understand what they think, what they mean when they say what they say. And so God said to him, you want two lanes or four? Now listen, it goes both ways. It goes both ways because ladies, you know this. How many men does it take to change a roll of toilet paper? How many? We don't know because it's never happened before, all right? It goes both ways. So relationships, they're just complicated. And so I told you last week that we've kind of got this big idea for this series. And here is the big idea for this series. Great relationships are possible, but they're not probable. Great relationships are possible, but they're not probable. And the reason they're not probable is we are living our lives. We are doing relationships the way the world says we should do it. We're following what the culture says about our relationships instead of what the Word of God says. Now, I told you last week, we also have a theme verse. It's from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Don't do what the world does. Don't do what you see on TV. Do what you see on the big screen. Don't do what you read on all the different blogs. Don't do that, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. It starts with you. Change me. God, change me. God, fix me. God, transform me. Not, hey, they're the one with a problem. God, they're the one that's not normal. God, fix them. No, it starts with me. And then when we say, God, transform me, it goes on to say this, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, a lot of you are going, Jason, I would love to have that in my relationships, but they're just not that way. Listen, that's why we're doing this series, because we want to place God at the center of all of our relationships, because when we do that, then those great relationships are probable. Now, what I want to talk about this weekend is personal to me. It's actually something that's very convicting to me. I want to talk about this morning the remarkable power of words. And the reason this is so convicting to me is, well, Words is what I do. I speak a lot. I talk all the time. Words is what I do. And you know that anything that can be used for good can also be used for bad. And so there's this verse in Proverbs. Listen to what it says. It says these words right here. The tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue has the power of life. And you can bring life with your words. You can bring death with your words. You can tear relationships down with your words, or you can build relationships up with your words. And so what I want to do today is just bring weight to this whole idea that our words have power. Because I think many times in our world, the culture that we live in today, we don't think about the words that we use. We don't think about the words that we type on social media, or the words that we type on email, or the words that come out of our mouths. So I want to bring weight to these words. Because if we want to have healthy relationships at work, at school, with our friends, with our family, with whoever we're dating, with our spouses, then we have to pay attention to the words we choose to use. And so let me start out with a case study. I just want to show you a quick video, a minute and 15 seconds, just of how sometimes communication can kind of break down. So watch this quick clip.
The policeman forgot duty by putting the prisoners to work in the mess hall.
They wouldn't like that.
Who cares what they like?
It's not that simple, General. I'm sure that Colonel Hogan will have something to say about that rocket launcher.
I've got a lot to say.
Clink, tell this man to leave.
Dismissed, Hogan.
General Burkholder, according to the Geneva Convention, you cannot bring offensive weapons into a POW camp.
Clink, tell Colonel Hogan I'm not listening.
Hogan, General Burkholder says he does not wish to discuss it with you.
Tell General Burkholder I'm reporting him to the Red Cross.
General Burkholder, Hogan says that he's reporting you to the Red Cross.
I'm not discussing this with Colonel Hogan. Why are you?
I don't.
Stop talking to him.
Schultz, tell Colonel Hogan that I do not wish to discuss it with him.
Colonel Clink does not wish to discuss it with you.
Tell Colonel Clink he's going to be in as much trouble as General Burkholder.
Clink, tell Schultz to tell Hogan I'm in no trouble.
Schultz, tell Colonel Hogan that General Burkholder is in no trouble.
Colonel Hogan, Colonel Clink,
they're both going to be in trouble if they don't get rid of that rocket launcher.
Clink, tell him he can't threaten me.
Schultz, tell him he can't threaten him.
Burkholder told Colonel.
This is my last warning.
I don't take warnings from prisoners.
Neither do I.
You will this time.
Hogan,
I have told you.
Wait for me.
I mean, does that sound like your last staff meeting at work or what, right? I mean, some of you are going, wow, Thanksgiving at Mom's is going to be just like that here in a couple of weeks. You know, so today, that's why I believe it's so important, because in a lot of our relationships, we say this, I mean, I'm talking, but nobody is listening. You know, it's just a cacophony of noise everywhere you go. And so the New Testament, the Bible, the book of James has a lot to say about the power of our words, the power of our tongue. So James chapter 3, listen to what he writes. It says this. It says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. In other words, if you never misuse words in your life, if you never say words that wound or hurt or slander or gossip, if you never grumble or complain, if you never rage with your words, then you are perfect. And you can go ahead and gather your stuff. You can head for the door this morning. You don't need to be here. But let me remind you of what one of the Ten Commandments is. Thou shalt not lie. I don't see anybody heading for the door. I'm not heading for the door this morning, because this is something I know I need as well. But let me show you what James goes on to say about the powerful instrument in our mouth known as the tongue. Here's what he says in verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. It's amazing. It's amazing what you can do with a little 3-4 inch piece of metal. You can turn a horse, you can turn a 1,000-pound animal any way you want. You can make it stop, you can make it start, you can make it go to the right, you can make it go to the left, all with that little piece of metal. But he goes on to write this next verse. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Listen, you can place a ship out in the middle of the ocean in wind and waves, and yet with that little rudder, the captain can steer that ship any direction he wants. Next verse, verse 5. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Listen, we all were taught this from an early age by Smokey the Bear, right? Man, we learned, we have seen maybe with our own eyes the devastation that comes from a small spark. So from these three examples, a bit in the mouth of a horse, from a small rudder that steers a great ship, from a spark that ignites a forest fire, the author James says there is this powerful instrument in our mouths. And the words that roll off of our tongue are powerful. And they have the ability to bring life, or they have the ability to bring death. Words can hurt. Words are powerful. Words are cutting. Words can make a difference in a relationship. And words can wound and be vicious. You don't believe me? Let me give you an example. Don't know if you heard, but there's an election going on. And I don't know about you, but me, I've been appalled by everybody on every side from every single party. It has been awful. And I tell you what, don't you dare post anything on social media, political, unless you're prepared to be eviscerated. And you want to have your heart broken, just go and read some of the posts beneath an article on politics where people literally just tear people apart. How in the world can you eviscerate someone that way? How can you destroy someone that way? How can you dehumanize somebody that you don't even know? Well, listen to what James goes on to say in verse 10. He says these words, powerful words. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. You see, our words have the astonishing power to bless or curse, to tear down or to build up, to discourage or to encourage, to bring life or to bring death. You see, each of us is the sum total of the words spoken into our lives. You are the sum total of all the words spoken into your life. I am the sum total of all the words spoken into my life. And I've been so blessed to have so many people in my lifetime speak words of blessing, words of life, words of encouragement into me. I mean, I was blessed to have great parents that told me that they loved me, that they believed in me. I mean, my mom is still my number one fan. She lives up in Indianapolis, Indiana, and she may not be able to be here on Sunday morning, but she watches our services every single week. On Monday night, instead of watching Wheel of Fortune or something else, she fires up the TV and watches our weekend services. And hardly a week goes by where mom doesn't call or text or email me and said, I know I said this last time, but man, that was the best sermon you have ever delivered. I so needed that lesson on sexual temptation. Awkward, mom, but thanks, you know? Thanks so, so much. But man, I grew up with grandparents. I grew up with coaches. I grew up with teachers. I grew up with small group leaders that spoke words of life into me and said, I believe in you, Jason. But I know some of you in this room are going, Jason, that's just not fair, because I didn't have that. I didn't have that in my life. Listen, I want to be straight up with you here this morning. There is healing for you. God can heal that in your life. You know, in the third verse of the Bible, it says that the world was formless, that it was void, that darkness covered the entire land, and then God spoke. He spoke words, and with words he said, let there be light, and there was light. See, with words, God created the world that he wanted to live in, and with words, you and I can create the world that we want to live in as well. And so I promise you, if you're hurt, if words have wounded you, there is healing available for you. I promise you, if you would just give Jesus a chance, if you would just give this church a chance, you can find healing in Jesus Christ. I promise you, there is healing on the other side. You can create the kind of world that you want to live in, a kind of world where there are blessings and not curses. And isn't that the kind of world that we want to live in? I know it is me. And so here's what I want to do today. I want to get really practical today. I want to talk about some words, some types of words that you and I can use, some very practical words that we can employ in our life so in our relationships we can create good and healthy communication so we can speak words of life. So get your pens, get your pencils out, get ready to take some notes here. And again, this message is for me. I am preaching to myself. But these are words that you can use in your marriages, in your dating relationships, at work, at school, even here at church. And so here is the very first word that we can employ. It's the word affirmation. The word affirmation. In other words, encouragement. Encouragement. Do you know that every single word that comes out of your mouth will either build somebody up or tear somebody down? There are no such things as neutral words. Listen to what Paul writes in Ephesians 4:29. He says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Husbands, tell your wives how much you love her, how much you appreciate her. I mean, wives, tell your husbands how proud you are of him, how much you respect all the work he gives. Tell your sons, parents, that he is a young leader and that God's going to do something great with his life. Tell your daughters that she is beautiful. She is beautiful on the inside and outside. You can build the kind of world that you want to live in when you use words of affirmation. I heard about a guy and a lady. They were driving down the street. They were actually having an argument, heated argument, fighting about family. And they were driving down this country road. As they drove by, there was a farm, and there were some pigs and cows and some goats. And the husband looked at the wife and said, "Look, some of your family." To which she replied, "Yeah, my in-laws." Guys, we will never win, all right? Don't even try. We will never win. Words have the ability to tear relationships down, or words have the ability to build relationships up. And let me just say something to all of you who volunteer in our family life ministries. Those who work in CC Kids or in Thrive or in Impact, never underestimate your words of affection and affirmation. Never underestimate those words. Listen, if you're looking for a place to serve in this ministry where you want to make a true difference, you want to make a difference from generation to generation, then volunteer in our family life ministries. I'm telling you, we don't need you to cut out crafts. We don't need you to set tables up or tear tables down. What we need you to do is grab a kid and look him in the eye and say, "God believes in you." Let them know that God loves them. Listen, do you know what they're hearing at school? Do you know what they're hearing from the world today? God only knows how dark and depraved it is out there for our kids. Imagine what it would be like to sit in a circle with a group of third grade girls or eighth grade boys and hear them share their hearts, hear them share their fears, something they're not sharing with anybody else. And then you look them in the eye and say, "I believe in you. God believes in you, and you have a purpose in his kingdom." And so let me just say this. Let me speak to all of you volunteers in our family life ministry. This is your pastor saying, I want to empower you. I want to encourage you to use your words to affirm our kids so when they walk out of this church every single weekend, their chests will be puffed out and they will know that God believes in them and that this church believes in them as well. So could you do that for me, volunteers? We need that. Our kids need that. This world needs that. So words of affirmation. Second type of words we need to use are words of affection. Words of affection. We should constantly be reminding people how much we care for them. I'll never forget learning this lesson just a very interesting way. A couple years ago, I preached a sermon in here, and I did one of those activities where I said, "Hey, turn to the person next to you and tell them I love you." You know, no big deal, just trying to get some involvement, so you guys to wake up on a Sunday morning, something like that, you know, and didn't think much of it after service. Guy came back to Starting Point. He's in his 50s and he's just crying. I'm like, "Hey, what's going on? What's happening?" He said, "I'll never forget this day." I said, "Well, why is that?" He said, "I was sitting out there today and my dad's in town visiting. And I brought him to church with me today and he doesn't really come to church much. And we're sitting out there. And then you said, turn to someone around you and look him in the eye and say, I love you." My dad looked me in the eye for the very first time in over 50 years. Said, "I love you." And he just broke down and cried. I'm like, oh my goodness. There's such power in those words. And we've got to constantly be reminding the people in our life how much we care for them. Listen, God reminded us all throughout Scripture, constantly God was saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. In fact, one of my very favorite times, Jeremiah chapter 31, where God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I mean, that's the love of our God, an everlasting love. Listen, you may not be loved by your spouse. You may not be loved by your kids. You may not be loved by your in-laws. You may not be loved by your classmates. You may not be loved by your coworkers, but you are loved by the everlasting God of the universe. And what does he say? He says, nothing can separate me from you. Not angel, nor demon, nor height, or depths. Nothing can separate you from my love. So never underestimate those words of affection. Now, guys, before I give you the next one, I want you to get your pens and pencils ready, all right? If you haven't been paying attention, guys, this is the one you want to wake up on, all right? Get your phone out if you need to and take a little note. Make a note to yourself because I'm about to give you the four most romantic words on the planet. All right, guys, and this is 20 years of marriage. I'm going to give you just four romantic words that you need to employ. And here they are. And then what happened? Those are the four most romantic. And then what happened? And after you pick her up off the ground, she will continue telling you what happened. Listen, I've been married for over 20 years now. And what Ann expects from me is that I want to know less information, not more information. And so when you employ those words, and then what happened, understand that is huge. That is so important. It means so much, not just to your spouse, but to your kids or other people in your life. Because sometimes the most life-giving words that you use are the ones that you never use. It's the gift of listening. It's simply the gift of listening. Listen to what Proverbs says. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. When they keep their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. I love the Bible. Don't you just love it? It says, hey, just shut up and people think you're genius. I love that. That's wisdom from the Bible. And James says in chapter 1, he says, everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now, guys, if you're like me, you come home at the end of the day, you are all listened out. Just like I said, your words are gone. You have nothing left. And you might want to come home and just check out. You might want to just come home and just, you know, say, hey, I'm done for the day. I'll never forget somebody told me that he practices something called the Sweet 16. I've never heard of that before. I said, well, what's the Sweet 16? He says, I come home at the end of the day, instead of going to the garage and tinkering the garage or going flipping on the TV or going sit in my chair and reading the paper, I go into wherever my wife's at and I just say, hey, how was your day? What has happened in your day? And then I say over and over, and then what happened? And then what happened? And then what happened? See, there's power in those words you don't say. It's all about listening. Listening is powerful. Now, some of you are going, okay, Jason, all this lovey-dovey stuff, that's great and all, that's really nice, but what happens when things aren't going well? Well, that leads us to number four. We speak the truth in love. We speak the truth in love. See, we have to talk about what's wrong. You got to talk about what's broken. You got to talk about what wounds. You got to talk about what hurts. You got to talk about what's not working in the relationship. But listen, you don't have to do it in a way that frightens somebody. You don't have to do it in a way that intimidates somebody. You speak the truth in love. And you ask God to change them. Listen, you're not the one that's going to change them anyway. God's going to be the one to change them. I mean, have you ever known somebody to change their mind or change what they're doing because you raised your voice? Have you ever known someone to change because you bullied them? Have you ever known somebody to change because you threw something across the room? No, it doesn't work that way. But listen to what Paul writes in the book of Ephesians. He says, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more and more like Christ. He's saying that transformation happens when we allow Jesus Christ to be the one that transforms us on the inside. And then we will be able to speak the truth with a loving tone. You see, it's just amazing how hard information, difficult conversations can be received when it's spoken in love. I mean, a whole lot of communication is about the tone of your voice. Isn't that right? Now, I'm a big dog fan, all right? I love dogs, not just because I'm a Georgia Bulldog. I love dogs. All you cat people, great for you, all right? Cats are decent. The bigger they get, the more I like them, but I'm just a dog guy. Because dogs just are loving animals. I don't think there's another creature on the planet that will love you more than a dog. I mean, more than your wife, more than your kids, more than your friends. I'm telling you, a dog will love you like nobody else. Don't believe me? Try this. Lock your wife in the trunk of the car for an hour. Lock your dog in the trunk of the car for an hour. Open up and see who licks you in the face. All I gotta say, all right? No, don't do that, all right? Don't do that and say, my pastor said, lock you in the trunk. Don't do that, all right? But dogs just have a way of loving you. I love my dog. Flash is his name. Had him for 12 years. Got him when the boys were little. And I tell you what, he is my buddy. I love this dog. Best dog I've ever had. And I tell you, every time I come home, he greets me like it's the first time he's ever met me. I can walk out the door and go to the mailbox and come right back in, and he greets me the same way. I love it about my dog. And he is energetic, and he is fun. I've threatened my family that when he dies, I'm going to stuff him. Because I just want him next to me all the time, because I just love this dog. But have you ever noticed, because I do this with Flash all the time, the tone of your voice makes all the difference in the world. I mean, I can look at Flash and I go, come here. You're the stupidest dog on the planet. You pee in my house all the time. I can't stand you. And he's up there going, ah, ah, ah. You know, pet me, right? And then you can look at the dog and go, I love you. You are the best dog ever. And he goes running through the house away from me. It's all in the tone of our voices. Tone makes all the difference in the world. Tone has a way to de-escalate a certain situation. And you see, when you use you statements, don't do that because it will escalate a situation. Use I statements. So what's an example of a you statement? Example of a you statement. You're an idiot. That's a you statement, all right? Hey, you're just like your mother. You nag all the time. You don't really care. Those are you statements. Don't use those. Those will escalate the situation. If you want to de-escalate the situation, use I statements. Use I statements because you can't argue with how people feel. Say things like, you know, I'm really hurt. I feel like you don't care. I feel like I don't matter when you come home at night and don't even acknowledge me. Or I feel afraid when you raise your voice and you throw things. Those are I statements. And you might not be able to get on the same page when it comes to your perspective, but nobody can argue with your feelings. And listen, Jesus spoke the truth in love. Jesus said difficult, hard things. Jesus never backed off a hard conversation. But in every single scripture you see where Jesus spoke truth, he did it with grace. And that's the kind of people that we should strive to be like. And so when we're communicating with somebody, we're not going to do it in a way that intimidates them. We're not going to do it in a way that makes them feel less than. We're not going to do it in a way that makes them feel judged. We're going to do it with truth and grace. Because here's the reality, all right? I mean, truth without grace is mean, but grace without truth is meaningless. We need to speak the truth in love. So let me just ask, is this making a dent? Are you guys following me today? Is this stuff that you think, hey, I can employ in my life? I mean, this is easy, practical stuff. Stuff you can walk out of here today and do right on the foyer today. You can say to somebody today, man, thank you so much for what you meant to my life. You can use this today when you go to lunch. You can encourage somebody. You can use this today when you watch the Jags play this afternoon, all right? We can use words that build up and bring life, okay? One last word, the word prayer. Prayer is the last word I want to talk about today. There's something powerful that happens when you are in a disagreement with somebody and you can grab them by the hand and say, let's pray about this. I mean, when you're trying to find a solution, when you're arguing and you can't find common ground, there is so much power when you simply say, you know what? Let's pray about this. Now, I know some of you are going, whoa, Jason, that's pushing me out of my comfort zone. Well, if you want great relationships, then you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. And I'm telling you, I truly believe in my relationship with Ann. For 365 days before we got married, we spent every single night reading scripture, doing a devotion together, and praying together. I truly believe that it was that foundation that has held us through so many years of marriage and life and kids and ministry. And when good things happen, we'll pray. When bad things happen and we're trying to find answers, we'll pray. And I'll be the first to tell you, I wish I could say, I was one of those guys that, man, life didn't get busy and we still pray every single night. I don't. I feel guilty about that. It's something I know husbands, as leaders, as spiritual leaders in the house, we should strive to do. But there's so much power in prayer. Well, let me give you one last verse. We'll wrap this up. It says, you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. You do not have because you do not ask God. There is power in prayer, I am telling you. And I wonder how many people today can find healing from those wounds that have been caused by words if you would simply ask God. I wonder how many people today, your future could be different than your past if you would just ask God. I wonder how many people today could create the world that they want to live in, a world where words of life are being poured into people around you, in you, if you would simply ask God. There's power in prayer. God says, use it. Use it in your relationships. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you would, just bow your heads. Just bow your heads right now, and we're going to ask God. We're just going to move in a season of prayer and pray over several things. And so right now, God, we just come to you. And let's just say, first of all, man, this one hits close to home. I know as someone who uses words every single day, lots and lots of words, it's convicting to me to think about, do words of blessing and words of cursing come out of my mouth? Because how can those things come out of the same mouth if you are in me? And so, Heavenly Father, as we come here in this moment of prayer, we come to ask you. I come right now to ask you for several things. Right now, I know there are people in this room that have been devastated, people in this room who have been cut, people in this room that have been hurt deeply, who have deep, deep wounds in their life from a boss or a friend or a spouse or a parent or a brother or a sister or a classmate. Words that have just torn them down. Words that haven't brought life but have brought death and destruction and doubt and depression. God, I know that you offer healing. You offer healing to us from those things. And so right now, I just want to ask quietly with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, is there anybody in this room that just needs healing for some words in your life that have hurt? If you need some healing from words today, just pop your hand up real quick. Just where you're sitting, we just want to pray over you. Heavenly Father, my heart breaks for so many people in this room who have their hands up, who somebody has used their words to hurt and to tear down and to destroy. God, sometimes it's so tough for us to see outside of those words, and we think those words do define us. But it's not their words that define us. It is your words that define us. And that we are a much loved child of the Almighty God. And so I pray right now to you who are our great physician, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Would you just heal those wounds? Would you just pour right now your spirit into those wounds and be able to cleanse and make them whole again? God, right now, I also come to you because I know many of us in this room, and I'm a part of this group, have used our words in a way that hurt. We have been the ones who have brought the hurt and created the wounds in other people because of the words that we choose. So, Heavenly Father, right now, I just come personally, and I'm sure some of us in this room also need to come to this point and simply say, we're sorry. And so right now, if that's you in this room, if you've misused words and you've hurt a relationship, just right now, quietly, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Yes. Heavenly Father, we need your spirit. We need to develop the fruit of spirit in our life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. We need that with our tongue. While it's so small, it is mighty, and it can cause so much damage. And so we pray that you will just take our words and you will redeem our words that we have misused, and that you will challenge us to go and make right some relationships. You'll challenge us to go and ask for some forgiveness for some people we might have hurt. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will just continue to build us up. I pray that you will help us as a church to continue to build a world that we want to live in, a world that's filled with words that speak life and love and encouragement in other people. God, we don't want to look like the world. We're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be different. And so I pray that you will just continue to challenge us as the church to be light and to be salt. But God, we also know how difficult these relationships can be. All the relationships in our life, whether it's with a boss or coworkers or friends or classmates or brothers and sisters or in-laws, people we're dating, our spouses, it's difficult. And without you at the center of those relationships, then it's going to be hard to ever have a healthy relationship. And so right now, I just want to pray for all those in this room who maybe right now are just thinking, man, I don't have Jesus in my life. I need Jesus in my life. If I'm ever going to repair this marriage, if I'm ever going to repair my family, if I'm ever going to have healthy friendships, if I'm ever going to be a great boss or an employee, then I need Jesus in my life. Romans chapter 10 says, if we just confess that he will come into our lives. And so if you're here today, and maybe you just need Jesus in your life, maybe you just need to pray Jesus in your life today, just quietly, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Because all you got to do is ask him. All you got to do is invite him in. And so I pray for all those in this room today that need Jesus, that this has been a day, this has been a moment where they just, their heart has opened, the Spirit has said, it's time I quit trying it myself. It's time I quit trying to do it the way I see on TV, or quit trying to do it the way I read in that self-help book. It's time I do it God's way. And so I pray for all those who are making that decision this morning. They're simply praying a prayer, saying, God, I can't do this. I need you in my life. We celebrate with those people. We celebrate with the life-changing decisions that are happening right here, right now. God, and we know that words can be used that so well and can be used to build up so much life in other people. And so I pray that you will just encourage us, that you will inspire us to use our words to bring life. God, with your words, you spoke life into existence. Let us speak life into those around us this week. And I pray all of this in the name of the Word who came to life, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.